Hello and welcome to Why Are We Doing This? My name is Lucas Guzman.
I'm Kathy Wright.
We're baddie to talk to you today, right?
Yeah, we're baddie, all right. Bad shit crazy. Yeah.
Sorry for missing 2 weeks. Godspell took a lot more out of me than I anticipated. And, you know, between fits of rage, pulling at my hair, sobbing, and trying to learn my lines, I could not fit in torture to watch something. And this week was torture. This was bad. As a contrast to the last movie we watched, Mother, Jugs, and Speed, which was pure art, this was pure fart. Like, this was so bad. And I think this is from the year before, or year before, right? Or 2 years before. But, you know, we'll talk about this movie when we get to it. If you like us, and we sure hope you do, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Threads. That's why period our period we period doing period this. Follow our Patreon, patreon.com/whyarewedoingthis. If you follow our Patreon, I will use that money to get a Netflix subscription, and we'll watch all the great Netflix movies on there. We'll watch the Lindsay Lohan St. Patrick's Day rom-com that just came out. We'll watch Anne Hathaway bumble her way through the Iran-Contra affair. We'll watch, you know, Tall Girl 1 and 2, all three of the Kissing Booth movies. So send us $1, $5 on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/whyarewedoingthis. Send us an email. That's why period r period b period. Nope. That's why are we doing this podcast, one@gmail.com.
It doesn't matter. We never get emails.
Listen, Linda. But if you want to send us an email, if you don't, that is perfectly fine.
I could say I'm giving $1 million to the first person that emails us, and we still wouldn't get one.
It's fine. have you seen any new movies recently? Not new, like, new made this year, but new to you movies recently?
No, I don't think I have.
Have you seen any movies recently?
Yeah, but they were all old ones that I've seen before.
What?
The Terminator.
And?
What else did I watch? I watched The Terminator. I watched, that's what I watched. I can't even think of the dumb names of them. When you're sick, you watch movies.
Yeah.
I watched The Terminator twice, actually.
Twice? Did you see, have they been playing Dirty Harry movies?
No, unfortunately they haven't.
Because I know you sit and watch every single one in a row when they play the marathon.
Yes, I do, because I like Dirty Harry.
I like Dirty Harry, too. I don't...
Because I think if I was ever a cop, that's the kind of cop I'd be.
The one who abuses power?
Sure. Don't most cops?
Yeah, all of them. I saw Poor Things, which is I'm sure everybody who's listening knows Poor Things, but, Miss Kathy has been sick for 2 months. It's the Emma Stone movie.
I know the movie.
I didn't know if you knew what it was called.
I knew what it was called. Oh. I just did.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia. I saw the new movie Love Lies Bleeding, which is really good. Minus the, there was an audience member giving head to another audience member in the corner. That was very distracting. Also, there was like an 8-year-old there. You wouldn't think the lesbian movie where someone gets curb stomped, like, would think that you'd take your 8-year-old there, but not my monkeys, not my zoo. Right. Nothing bat related have you seen recently?
No, I can't. Nothing bat related.
This movie was...
I told you, I've been watching stupid stuff. I watched a stupid thing last night of Where's Kate Middleton?
Oh my God, that's horrible.
There's nothing on. It's like...
Ugh.
You know, and I, the shows that I tape, that I watch,
tape.
Well, I record. Sorry. Record. The one's on hiatus because of March Madness. So
oh, okay.
So it's not coming back in for 3 weeks, which I really like.
What show?
Will Trent.
Oh, yeah.
I really like that show.
I haven't seen it. The guy irritates me.
He's really not that irritating. He's kind of funny, but, you know, he was raised in foster care. He's dyslexic.
He's a dyslexic.
Dyslexic.
You're dyslexic. He's dyslexic.
That's what I meant to say.
She is a little dyslexic.
You think I am? Really?
A little.
What makes you think I am?
Because you told me that when I do crosswords, I always find the words backwards.
I do always find the words backwards.
I think just, yeah, I think you have a little bit.
And he's got a dog named Betty that's really cute.
Yeah, I've seen the dog and the things.
The dog's very cute. And then I watch Resident Alien. And
yeah, I like that Alan Tudyk.
He was so funny last night. I don't usually laugh at stuff, you know I don't.
Yeah, no. Only at this movie and this movie.
What was the movie I fell in my watch went off and said you need an ambulance?
What was it? Was it Black Dynamite?
It was something, but I laughed so hard I fell on the floor.
It was for a show. We were watching something for a show, and what was it? Oh, God. It was, like, over the summer.
I know, but it was funny. I was laughing so hard, my Apple Watch asked me if I needed an ambulance.
Maybe you did.
I said no, and they said, and they go again, do you need us to call an ambulance?
I'll look through my movies I've seen. If I see the name, I'll know. But this week, we departed from a beautiful movie about something. Last week, that movie was about a lot. We departed that, and instead we watched The Bat People.
I don't know why was it people. It was don't only you, one person.
At the end.
It should have been the Bat Person.
Well, I feel like they wanted to call it the Batman, yeah, but
they couldn't.
Yeah. For copyright reasons. What was it that we watched? I feel like it was Black Dynamite. That's what my stomach says, that it was Black Dynamite.
We'll,
but
we'll go with your gut.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. It'll come to me later. Yeah. Oh, my God. It was it was Andy Warhol's Bad when she drops the baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, do you need an ambulance?
Oh, my God.
And then 2 minutes later, do you need an ambulance?
That movie was funny. Interesting. it was
different.
The Bat People is not funny, and it is definitely not interesting.
And it's not people, it's a person.
The Bat People is from 1974. It's rated PG.
Showed it at your mom's party.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom's turning 50 this year, so we might have to throw this on the screen. It's rated PG, but it's like 70s PG because we get some side boob.
Oh, do you need baby pictures of her?
I think we have enough. But,
you don't have any? You have baby pictures of her?
I just want to talk about the bats.
Okay.
The Bat People will reconvene for the party planning later, but no. The Bat People.
It's not people, it's one person.
It's one person. That just. And also.
And I agree, they probably wanted to call it Batman, but they couldn't.
Yeah, they couldn't. The Bat People, 1974, rated PG. We do get some side boob and some, side boob. And, oh, some guy says shit. And that's it. And there's some blood at the end, but it's nothing.
Blood at the end, we didn't see no bat dick, no nothing, and we didn't even see Batman person, actually.
He looked like a very...
He looked like a bad gorilla with a cleft palate.
At some points, it looked just like blackface. It looked like hardcore... Not like Al Jolson blackface, but like Soul Man blackface. It looked like crazy. Anyway, it was 93 minutes. A 2.8 out of 10 on IMDb. Which I think that and like... what is it? Saving Christmas are like the lowest. Saving Christmas, unfair IMDb score, but that's a different story. It's labeled as a horror and romance.
Yeah, the romance was horrible.
Bull honkies.
It said, the romance was horrible. And they were
everything was horrible.
They were married to each other in real life, making it worse.
That's how it was in, like, The Changeling with George C. Scott. He was married to the actress in that.
Who?
Trish Van Devere or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're
talking about. Oh, my God. There's this George C.
She's married to Colleen...
Camp.
No, Colleen somebody before her. Colleen...
Camp.
No, it wasn't Camp. It was, like, D's. Last name's Colleen something.
DeMarco.
Like, Dunhurst or somebody.
Dewhurst.
Dewhurst.
Yeah, it was Colleen Dewhurst. But George C. Scott and Trish Van Devere were in this other movie that George C. Scott directed. And we have to watch it for the podcast. Because I'm a big George C. Scott fan. And it's absolutely batshit crazy. Like, I haven't seen
it. What's the name of it?
The Savage is Loose. Have you seen that?
No, can't say I have.
He and his wife and his son crash land on an island. Or, like, they get to an... I've never seen it.
Oh, I think I might have seen it.
And the son wants to fuck the mom.
Yeah, I think I've seen that.
Yeah. That's the... And it's 2 hours.
Oh, no.
We have to see that.
No, not for all 2 hours.
Description.
It's gotta be a summertime thing.
Yeah. Description. After being bitten by a bat in a cave.
Okay, first of all, I just want to say...
Something. I can't even get when through the first sentence.
He got bit on the fucking head.
He got bit on the forehead.
He got bit on... You know, that's a
like
hardest
his like
that's
his lace.
The hardest part of your body to break through.
Like where his lace would be on his wig. Like he got... Look at
right here. That's the hardest part of your body to get bit on.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but bats have the hardest bite force of land mammals.
Oh, really?
No, I'm a liar.
Okay.
I think hippos have the strongest bite force of land mammals.
Probably.
Okay, after being bitten by a bat in a cave, a doctor... undergoes an accelerating transformation into a man bat, which ruins his vacation and causes considerable distress for his life. Taglines, there's one, and it's a doozy. After the sun has set and the night wind has died, comes the hour of the bat people. Bull honkies.
It's one person.
Cast, it's star-studded. Stuart Moss as Dr. John Beck. Now I'm going to take comma pause here. Dr. Beck? Dr. Beck of our beloved Stalked by My Doctor series? The whole time people called him Dr. Beck, I was like, where is the blank computer? Where is Laid Back Beck? Where is the Amy Pancakes? Where is the Manic Silver Mane?
Well, he couldn't read Amy. His wife's name was Kathy.
The Kathy Pancakes. But the whole time, and also...
I think the next time I make your papa pancakes, I'll spell my name out
in yeah.
pancakes. Just, and then he'll think I'm totally nuts.
Yeah. We'll get to it at the end, but I have a theory of... I think Dr. John Beck is Dr. Albert Beck's father. Marianne McAndrew as Kathy Beck, spelt the same way as you with the C.
Yeah, it's the only way to spell.
Michael Pataki... Or Pataki. Or Pataki.
Or dumbass, sure.
As Sergeant Ward. Sergeant Ward is written to be like a Burt Reynolds, like...
Smokey and the Bandit?
Half that, half like Sam Peckinpah character, half like Dennis Hopper, kind of like in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. He's like... a mishmash of, like, he's, like, almost... This movie takes itself too seriously to be camp. And I think if it was written better, it could be actually, like a funny horror comedy. But he's playing it straight serious. And that is not the way to go when Dr. Beck and Kathy Beck are playing it serious. There should have been someone to, like, have some levity. Now, hear me out. We remake this. Eugene Levy as Dr. Beck. Catherine O'Hara as Kathy Beck. Directed by Christopher Guest, of course. Sergeant Ward played by, like... I want to say Norm MacDonald, but Norm MacDonald's dead. But that would be absolutely outrageous to have him, you know, chewing gum and going, you know, I think your husband's a bat. Something silly like that. But, you know... I don't think anyone's going to ever touch the bat people with a 100-foot pole. Paul Carr as Dr. Kipling. Arthur Space as the Tramp.
Oh, I think he's the only good one in the movie.
He was actually a good actor, too. Like, I felt awful for him being there. And nobody else you've ever heard of. And no one with a funny name, at all. Let's see the trivia. And this one, it comes to no surprise to you or me. This was the first feature film for makeup artist Stan Winston.
Oh, shit.
I don't think Stan Winston had ever been out of a house, because I don't think he ever knew what a bat looked like. He's never seen Dracula. Because that looked like a bad King Kong mask.
Yes.
Here we go. This movie is also known by another name. When it was When it was released, it was titled, quote, this is an even better name, It Lives by the Night. And it was spoofed by Mystery Science Theater under that name. Here we go. WH. Nothing is funny on here at all. Let's see. Let's find some user reviews. There's only 55. That's not really a good sign. Let's see if there's a 10-star one. There is.
Bad person.
10 out of 10. It's from September 26, 2013. It's entitled, Intriguing 70s Drive-In Movie and a Great DVD Release. A 10-star review may be reaching a bit, but notwithstanding some of the insipid and exaggeratedly low movie reviews here. This film does have a plot, takes its time getting there, and features good act. I can't even bring myself to say it. Good acting and a satisfying conclusion. If you purchase the MGM Midnight Movies DVD edition, you'll also be in it for a visual treat, as the movie is given a stellar transfer, which serves as an effective time capsule of the 70s drive-in staples. Add in visual effects by Stan Winston, working on his first feature. He would later go on to do Terminator and Jurassic Park.
Wow, you improved.
And this stands as an interesting artifact, indeed. If you appreciate B-films with merit, and if you also like bats, check out The Chosen Survivors, which is also available from MGM Midnight Movies, and is also a 1974 release. It makes a terrific companion piece to this film. Now that means we have to watch The Chosen Survivors now. Not next week, but soon. Let's find, yeah, I'll read this one. Entitled, Na 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 Batman. From 2008.
That's awful long.
Eh. 2 out of 10. The Bat People is a proud resident of the IMDb Bottom 100. Every once in a while, the movie suddenly vanishes from the infamous list, depending on whether there are new movies with Paris Hilton in the lead, or documentaries about American Idol stars. But it always reliably returns sooner or later. And why? Because unlike the majority of crap in that list, The Bat People is a legitimate bad film, and it deserves to be on there, regardless of any media influences or internet buzz. This nearly isn't the worst film ever made, since the basic concept definitely has a certain charm and ingenuity, but it's still indescribably difficult to sit through the whole thing. The script is incredibly boring, with absolutely unnecessary padding footage and gigantic gaps in continuity, and yet the main characters still remain total strangers throughout the entire film. Other than a sensible screenplay, the film also lacks spectacular killing sequences and makeup effects. Although courtesy of a young Stan Winston, are ludicrously inept and remain largely unseen until the end of the film. The film's title is inaccurate, as people refers to a number in plural, whereas the story actually just revolves around one bat person. Much more than Bruce Wayne, the real Batman plays in this movie, and he as well has a genuine bat cave and a Batmobile, a stolen ambulance. The plot introduces a young couple on their honeymoon weekend exploring caves. They wander off from the guided tour group, and he gets bitten by a bat while trying to protect his wife from the animal's vicious attack. Worried that he might be infected with rabies, he undergoes an intense treatment at a local hospital. But still, this doesn't prevent him from slowly transforming into a bloodthirsty bat creature. He kills random people at night and toys around with a suspicious police sergeant, whilst his loving wife is still vastly convinced the awkward behavior is exclusively due to allergic reactions to the rabies treatment. Sure, honey, the script never explains why a bat would attack people, and how come John always changes back into a normal human being at the dawn of a new day instead of gradually turning into a permanent state of bat guano. So basically, the Bat People is a variation on the good old werewolf theme, but obviously not a very interesting one. The concept showed a lot of potential, but somehow the subplot centered on whiny drunks and perverted sheriffs instead of on ghastly monsters. Some of the settings and exterior filming locations look impressive. The Misfits song playing during the credits is strangely catchy. There's a nice bit of gore during the climax, finally. And the main actress, Marianne McAndrew, is ravishing to look at. Incorrect. Though not to listen to. This truly bad and boring film's current listing on the bottom 100 is spot number 80, and I personally hope it sticks somewhere in that region. The list simply wouldn't feel traditional without the Bat People. I have to agree. I was going in feeling as if there would be some sort of charm to the movie, that there would be some sort of, you know, like, something in the avenue of, like, Deep Blue Sea, or, like, Pieces, which some people may say is a guilty pleasure movie. I think it's just an amazing movie. It was weird, and it wasn't weird, I think, in the way that the director intended. It came off really stilted, like, almost like a student film, where nothing felt fully, like, baked. Like it felt done in the middle. Like, not done in the middle. Like, it felt like if you put your fork into the cake, you'd pull out with, like, cake on the fork.
We usually do. You're talking about dough. It didn't cook. Like, batter. You'd have batter on your fork instead of cake.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, it's still, like, wet in the middle.
Yeah.
It doesn't make... So we open up. This is, like, an American international, like, MGM movie, which is bananas that this was produced by, like, a company. But, you know, I feel bad for the people. How bad were the movies in 1974 that they didn't produce over this one? I hate to think of the shitty screenplays kicking around then of, you know, we can either do the Bat People or, you know, what else? Godfather 2.5. Or, you know, I don't know what else.
Godfather came out, like, in 72.
72, and Godfather 2 came out in 74. But it was, I don't know. What did you give this as a pre-rating?
0.
I gave this -100. Because I had very slim hopes.
Slim
hope from the beginning.
Is your standard bar gone up?
It has only gone down. I really didn't. Because I hate when people say, you know, like, well, I would have done this, and I would have done this, but, like, you weren't there. So, like, people, when, like, I can't think of an example, but people at home know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to sound like that kind of girl for a second, because I would have done this completely differently. Like, different movie. Like, this could have been, like, a... not on the same level as, like, Rocky Horror, but, like, a very, like, spoofy, like, because I felt like 70s and early 80s was, like, prime time spoof.
Yeah.
You know, like, with Kentucky Fried Movie and, like, The Naked Gun and Airplane. We could have gone, like, for, like, a 50s monster movie spoof, where, like, it's so ludicrous, you know, like, he's a bat person, and, you know, like, because you think of, like, 50s movies from way back when, like, you know, I Married a Monster from Outer Space, and, you know, like, I Walked with a Zombie, that's from the 30s, but, you know, like, you know, The Creature from the Black Lagoon and all these, like, silly, like, monster movies. This could have been, like, very camp and very, like John Waters-y and, like, very, like, not even John Waters-y, but, like, kind of like David Lynch-y, where, like, it's, like, small town weird and, like, gory. And, like, they could have made the gore, like, ridiculous, like The Beyond, where, you know, we're having, like, someone gets a cut on their finger and their finger explodes with tons of blood. Like, it could have been funny like that. But instead, it's, like, bland. It's very, like, I don't know, like a cup of canned tomato soup. It's just, like, what was this? So it opens up on, like, bats. B-roll of bats squeaking.
Well, first of all.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be...
He goes, I read...
A doctor of bats?
Or, hold on.
Or, who in the fuck studies bats?
Tons of people. Bats are interesting.
I didn't say they weren't.
But I'm sure there's a large field of bat doctors, or, like, bat professors. Because I'm sure that's an offshoot of, like, ornithology.
Probably.
But
or maybe it's part of it.
Yeah. But I read this on the trivia. I didn't read it out loud, though. He switches professions twice. No, three times in this. He goes from a cave doctor to a bat doctor to a medicine doctor.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does. Because he said at the beginning, like, it's my job. Your job is medical doctor. No, my job is bat doctor. Because he says... So we see all this B-roll of bats, right? We'll get to what we were saying. But the B-roll is, like, they're just squeaking and flapping their wings. And the sound effects, they... I would bet money they pulled from, like, a Johnny Quest or, like, a Scooby-Doo episode. They sounded like the bats from, like, the opening credits of Scooby-Doo. And now we're in the desert, right, taking pictures.
Right.
And it's, what's his face, John Beck and Kathy Beck. And
she wants to go skiing.
They are immediately the most insufferable characters put to screen. She is the worst. Johnny, like, obviously written by someone who cannot write for women. And I don't know if there's anything worse than someone who can't write for women, because that always makes the female characters very unlikable. And it's the same thing in, like, rom-coms written by women who can't write for men. And, like, I don't know who Sweet Home Alabama was written by, but, like, watching what little I did of Sweet Home Alabama...
I like that movie. I did watch that.
Patrick Dempsey. I watched it with you.
Patrick. And I watched it today.
Again. Patrick Dempsey. This line stuck out to me because I thought it was so ludicrous. Jane, not Jane Curtin, Murphy Kid. Brown, goes, Candace, are you going to let her do this to you? And he goes, yeah, I think I will. Like, that was just the cheese-dickiest line ever written. And I would prefer you write in teams than write for, like, one, if you're doing, like, a rom-com or, like, a movie like this where it's, like, based around a couple. I think it was extra bad because it was 1974. So, like, not only can I not write for women, but I also...
Can't write for men either.
Can't write for men, but I also can't write for, like, a modern woman either. She's written like a character from a 50s monster movie. And that's why... If this was, like, a spoof of that, I would have no problem with it, because I know the character she's playing. This is a woman from, you know, 1974. She's wearing pants. She's, you know, like, a woman, a new, like, a second-wave feminist. You know, like, she's... But, and she's out here, you know, Johnny, oh, my husband's a bat. Oh, God, Johnny. And that's, she has the same tone throughout the whole movie, too. It's just that... Johnny, like, it's so, like, grating. So she's like, Johnny, I don't want to look at caves anymore. I want to go skiing.
She's like, I want to go to the slopes.
And he goes, this is my job, Kathy. This is my job. And they're, like, talking for a minute. And then, out of, you know, the grace of God, we hear, like, some Scooby-Doo bat sounds. And she goes, oh, God, look at it. And it's just a bat.
A little baby bat on the...
It is just a bat. It's on their... I think it's, like, hurt, though.
It's on their...
It's on their picnic blanket. And he's like, I'll get rid of it. Does he kill that bat?
No, he got, like, through... Hit, and then went up in the air.
Oh, okay. Do you think that was the bat that bit him?
No, that bat was little. The other bat was bigger, but I'm still cannot believe that bat bit him where it bit him.
It bit him on the lace front. It bit him hard. Bit him on skull. Usually, you'd think that a bat would bite you on the fingers,
I
mean, or on the hand, or on
bit
the.
Your mom there, but.
Oh yeah. But so between the time it took for John to take care of that bat, Kathy has gone through an entire character arc.
I don't think. Too, they're on that tour of the cave.
Well, I'm beginning to that.
How are they not with the same people?
The line of the movie is in the cave scene. Do you remember it? Do you remember the... well, because between the time it took for John to throw away the bat and for him to come back to Kathy, she's already gone, like, it's okay, dear. We can go to the slopes tomorrow. Let's go to the cave. And so apparently they're in New Mexico. We had to look it up. Because there's snow, which I've never been to New Mexico.
I have, and I didn't ever see
snow. Well, you went to, like, nuclear blast site, New Mexico. You went to the middle of nowhere, New Mexico. You went to where Indiana Jones was in the fridge in the crystal skull. Okay. Am I wrong?
Oh.
But, you know, because her, you know, ex-in-laws lived there. Was it the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, they lived in Demeen, New Mexico. We were White Sands, Missile.
So maybe there is, like, in Arizona, there's snow, northern.
Arizona, New Mexico.
No, in Arizona. Well, in Arizona, and they're right next to each other. So I can't imagine the climates are that different.
I don't think there's snow in unless you go way up in Arizona.
There is snow in Arizona.
Where?
I don't know the place. It's like...
Scottsdale?
Yeah, no. No. Arizona listeners, send us an email. Where does it snow in your state?
Probably laughing fucking nowhere you
live. It is in... They snow there.
Fucking idiot.
It's March 22nd. It's snowing here.
Happy spring.
Happy spring. But they're in this cave, and they're like... It's in Carlsbad Cave, where I assume, even in 1974, there was probably a stringent tour.
Actually, I thought Carlsbad was someplace... Not in New Mexico.
I think it's in New Mexico. But you'd think that, you know, Carlsbad is, like, a very highly regarded...
For some reason, I thought it was in Kentucky.
That's the Kentucky Derby.
No, it's not.
But,
Oh, that's Mammoth Cave in Kentucky.
I don't know caves. I'm not a spelunker. But...
Okay.
But... What's her face? They're watching the tour go on, and Kathy looks at John with this big, dumb look, and she says, "Let's go." And she, like, points. And she's like, "Where?" And she's like, "Over there, so no one will see us." And he goes, "See us do what?" And then he goes, "Oh, God." He immediately turns into, like, a 92-year-old.
Yeah, he goes, "You wouldn't do that."
He immediately turns into Miss Anne Marie at the Catholic Church. And she goes, line of the movie, "Something about this cave is making me feel primitive." That's when I knew that this was not what I had thought it was. That this was a big pile of shit. And I'm watching the new Roadhouse later.
Like bad shit?
Yes. I'm watching the new Roadhouse later, and it's gonna... It has tough competition for being worse than this. It really does. And I love the original Roadhouse, and I hate remakes. But there's no way it can be worse than this. This is so bad. This was terrible.
There's not one remake you've ever liked?
Let me see. I'll have to think about that, because I just think that there are some movies where, like, they're so bad that you shouldn't touch them again. Like, they're so, like, gloriously horrible. And that's why I'm so pissed they're remaking The Room.
What?
You can't redo
not
that.
Not with the same dude.
With Bob Odenkirk. Which is even crazier than Tommy Wiseau.
You cannot redo The Room.
The Room has such
what
a...
What was that kid's name?
Oh, hi, Denny.
Hi, Denny.
But
hi, Denny.
We saw The Room in theaters. It was, like, the best experience ever. Like, it was so funny.
Audience reactions.
I was sad. I was the only one who said, "I just got my test results. I definitely have breast cancer." That the funniest line in the movie. It makes me pee my pants every time.
And every time the kid came in screaming,
"Hi, Denny!" Oh, my God. If it ever comes back to theaters, we have to go see it again. But do I like any remakes? I'm trying to think, because there are some movies that are, like, musical remakes. Like, I love the original Hairspray, but I wouldn't call the musical Hairspray a remake, because it's very, very different. Like, they still have the same characters, but, like, some characters are missing. Some, like, character personalities are missing. I mean, Divine is not there. And that's, like, that's a whole component of a movie, is Divine, because she's commands the screen. I can't really think of a remake I like. All the remakes I can think of are, like, the Total Recall remake, terrible. Carrie remake, horrible.
Do you like the Postman Always rings twice.
I didn't like the rape scene at 20 minutes in.
Because there's two, one with Lana
Turner. I haven't seen the Lana Turner one.
Okay.
I have to see that. It's on my watch list. But I like Jessica Lange, and I thought she was very good. But I can't imagine Lana Turner's character being much like that. Because Jessica Lange, I feel like, is kind of a diva and would, like, make her character whatever she wants it to be. But what else? The Dirty Dancing remake is the worst movie I've ever seen. Nicole Scherzinger plays someone in 2017 who can get pregnant. She was, and that's nothing against Nicole Scherzinger, who's a very good singer and was the best actress in the movie by leaps and bounds, which is crazy when you're in the same movie with Grace from Will & Grace. What's her name? Deborah Messing. Deborah Messing's in that. She was awful. She was surprisingly very bad.
Who was she?
Mrs. Houseman. And Katie Sagal was in it. I love Katie Sagal. She was horrible. She was the Bungalow Bunny. And
really?
They didn't introduce Bungalow Bunny until, like, hour 40 in. And the movie is 2 hours and, like, 30 minutes. It was absolutely the worst thing I've ever seen. But Nicole Scherzinger plays Penny. And Nicole Scherzinger in, like, 2017 was 40. I mean, 40-year-old people can get pregnant, but, like, in 1962, you know what I mean? Like, the whole thing was insane. Billy Dee Williams was Tito, he was actually fine. You saw Annie Hall. Woody Allen's weird friend Tony Roberts was Mr. Kellerman. Like, it was the biggest acid trip movie ever. But, that's beside the point. But I can't think of a one remake I like.
Okay, let's go back to the bat shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so they're about to get to fucking in Carlsbad Cavern.
She falls.
She falls, obviously. He goes in after her. They're in like a, what would you call it, like a pit? A deep part of the cave?
I guess.
And she lands in a pile of mites. Because obviously Carlsbad is dotted with large piles of mites. And she's like, oh my god, get them off me, get them off me, get them off me. And I hate to keep stopping every time she has a line, but she is written like, you know, like a 50s woman in a horror movie. Like, it's crazy. She's written like, what's-her-face from, what's that shitty movie we watched? Which one? What's that?
Yeah, which one?
No, she wasn't even that bad. I was gonna say, like, the daughter from Robot Monster, but she was fine. There was a movie we watched where she was so irritating. Oh! You don't even remember this one. I don't remember this one, but I remember one of the female character, and it was so grating that I wanted her to die. Do you remember we watched The Horror of Party Beach? With Cheryl,
yeah.
The girl who was, like, the drunk. Like, she's written, like, I don't even know. It was probably the worst portrayal of a female character I've ever seen. And, like, this movie, it rivals that. She was so just, like, oh, I don't know what to do, and I'm just a girl. And, you know, like, and she just is so just fucking wimpy in this. She, like, reminds me of Crystal Carrington. And, like, Dynasty, she's just so just, like, oh, God. And just, like, a wisp. Just a wisp of a girl. And so she's in this pit, you know, screaming about the mites.
Crystal's not a wisp. Those shoulder pads could knock your eyeballs out.
Those bangs. Those bangs clip corners when she turns.
Those shoulder pads could knock your eyeball out.
Those shoulder pads are so foul. Whoever did her wardrobe fucking hates her. Anyway. The pits of hell comes a bat. Obviously, there's so many bats in Carlsbad Cavern. I'm sure there are, but in a pit, which also is full of mites, which also is full to a human flesh-hungry bat.
I would say most bats, I don't think, are flesh eaters.
I think only vampire bats, and they eat birds. They don't eat humans.
I don't think those little bats that go around eating insects are flesh-eating.
I don't think that the only time that bats are flesh-eating are in, like, Bavarian folklore is the only time bats eat flesh, I think.
I think so, too.
But this bat, you know, of course, latches onto the most supple, juicy spot of a person, their forehead.
Right.
And Dr. Beck is like, bah, bah! And it, like, gets in her weave. It looks, like, flapping in her weave. And then he, like, grabs the bat and, like, stomps it to death. And then he's bleeding, like, you know, some ketchup. And she's like, are you okay? Are you okay? And he's like, I'm fine. And the tour guide from above is like, hey, there's somebody down there. And then she starts going, oh, God, help us, help us, help, help. And it cuts to...
him in the hospital.
No, it cuts to remember them, they're skiing.
Oh, yeah, they're skiing.
They're skiing now. And this is the first of many absolutely insane transformation scenes. I want everyone to close their eyes for a second. Not you.
Oh.
Everyone close your eyes.
I'm closing them.
People who have seen Ghostbusters. You know the very weird scene in the montage of them busting ghosts when Dan Aykroyd receives a blowjob from a ghost? That's the face he makes every time he turns into a bat. His eyes roll back and his lips start quivering. He's like, bah, bah, oh. And he starts doing that on, what's this, the ski-doo? On the
ski lift.
Oh, yeah. And she goes, John, Johnny, 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 are you okay, Johnny? Johnny, Johnny, what's wrong, Johnny?
Ended up skiing.
Then, you know, I would probably take him to a neurologist, because I think that he's having a stroke.
Well, after skiing, they're in the hot tub.
Yeah, and doesn't he, like, break a glass on his hand?
Well, did she... because they were... the people next door were jumping on in the snow and then back in the hot tub.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, we're next. But how about a drink first? And the drinks miraculously appear.
The drinks are a glass of snow and a Bloody Mary. That Bloody Mary was as neon red as Shelley Winters and tentacles. I think about that Bloody Mary daily. What the fuck was in that? That was... uranium and red 40 and, you know, Roundup. But he's drinking. He breaks the glass, right?
Yeah, because he drinks it and then he's like...
then his eyes roll back again.
Like, apparently bats don't like alcohol. I don't know.
Is this true?
I just said,
bat doctors, send us an email.
I don't know. But then he starts spazzing out again.
He breaks the glass and...
oh, Johnny, your hand. Your hand, Johnny. Look at your hand.
And
listen, I'll go to the first aid station in the morning.
Sir, you're bleeding into the pool. Like...
and hey, it's only $23.
She's... if there's a room for $23 a night,
I'm hopping on it.
You're getting herpes and bed bugs. Like, you're getting a venereal disease... hepatitis and bed bugs for $23 a night. 1974 was very different.
I guess it's worth it.
She's like, $23 a night. Ooh, our pockets are light. Like, that's a steal. They're in, like, New Mexico. Oh, it is New Mexico. I mean, who's going to New Mexico for vacation? Unless you're going to see your in-laws in the desert.
They have pretty stuff in Mexico. They have that art thing down in...
oh, like the Georgia O'Keeffe?
Yeah, it's Taos, New Mexico. It's a big art community.
Oh, cool. I would go to the West because I like dry heat more than wet heat. Well, no, like, I like Michigan winters and autumns and springs. I hate Michigan summer. It's too humid.
It's too humid for me.
And I would move to, like, New Mexico. That's or why Florida's Arizona.
Florida's
out for me for
numbers of reasons.
Listen, I love our relatives down there, but they chose to live in Tampa, is all I'm gonna say. Tampa, Florida is next to Ybor City, where there are chickens roaming and sex workers, you know.
Yeah, I like Ybor City.
Full of chickens? It's full of roosters.
Since when?
Aren't there roosters in Tampa? Where the fuck are the roosters? Key West? There's roosters in some place in Florida. But I don't want to talk about Florida, because I'll talk about my vacation there, and I'll that's a whole episode.
Let's go back to the bats.
The bats. So he's like, I'm fine. I'll go to the first aid in the morning. So we're at the first aid. We see our doctor, who is Martin Mull. Martin Mull's ugly brother. He has this, like, mushroom haircut and this huge mustache. And his name's Dr. Kipling. And he's like, your hand is okay. Your head is okay. It's all in your head. You're not a bat person. Like, that's all, like, he's so unhelpful. But then
they said they would start the rabies thing.
Yeah.
That needle was, like, fucking huge. You see how big that needle
was? Also, I thought it was going to turn into, like, a porn. Because he, like, he's like, pull down your pants. And then he, like, injects him right, like, 2 inches above his dick.
Well, when you get rabies shots, you have to get them in your stomach.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you have to get rabies.
But the way that it was framed, it looked like he was getting penicillin in his dick. like, I was worried for him. I said, not. Dr. Beck. No.
It doesn't matter because you're still turned into a bat person.
Then, after he gets the shot, he, like, has an allergic reaction, apparently, to it.
Oh, he had that face again.
Oh, yeah. He's, whoa! Like, his eyes rolled back, his mouth hanging open. I was surprised he didn't bite his tongue off because it looked like he was having, like, a stroke or, like, a seizure. Not a stroke, a seizure. But, like, it was... Whoever... I don't even remember the actor's name. He obviously went to the Linda Day George School of Overacting because he is absolutely hamming it. He's so out of place compared to, like... I mean, I'm not saying Kathy's a good actress, but she's playing it straight. So is the dastardly villain of the movie, Sergeant Ward. And he should be the one playing at camp. He should be doing like a Frank Booth in like Blue Velvet with a badge. Like he should be doing like, you fucking fuckers, you fucking fucker. Like he should be like a crazy like redneck. Instead, he's just like Smokey without the bandit. He's like Buford T. Justice's thin friend. Like he's just crazy. So, he has this allergic reaction, and the doctor's like, we need to keep you in the hospital. So he's held up in the hospital, and this is the first of many sequences of her eating fruit. Kathy, in this movie...
Maybe she's healthy.
She is eating fruit in a lot of scenes, and she was eating an apple earlier when they were in the desert when we first saw them. It was too light to be an orange. Or, like, was it a peeled orange?
It was a peeled orange.
I thought it was an apple.
No, it wasn't red.
Apples can be yellow.
It wasn't yellow, but whatever.
She
was eating fruit.
She was eating fruit. And she's eating fruit in this scene. And he's in bed. And this was, like, the
maybe
most...
Maybe the bat was there because it wanted...
It was a fruit bat. It was a fruit bat, obviously. But later she comes in... This is the most puzzling scene in the movie. This is later in the movie when she comes into his room with a bowl of fruit. Like, a bowl of fruit you get, like, at a restaurant. Like, there's, like, this restaurant near us, Moro's, where, like, after dinner they give you a bowl of fruit and, like, walnuts. Which I'm sure is at other places, but I'm just saying this for local reference. They give us this fruit bowl after dinner and coffee. She comes in with, like, one of those. I'm surprised she didn't come in with, like, the nutcracker and the walnuts. Because she is just... She doesn't offer him any of the fruit. She starts eating this fruit in the room.
When I was in the hospital, the finger.
Yeah. Her finger's cut off.
My neighbors came. The ones that moved.
Yeah.
And they brought me fruit and a big jug of juice.
Did you use it?
No. The nurse came in and said, oh, I can put this down in our refrigerator. I said, sure. She goes, we'll keep it cold for you.
What kind of fruit? Apples and oranges and bananas?
Apples and oranges.
But, yeah, I don't know if I don't know if the audience knew you're missing half of your finger.
No, they probably did not.
Yeah. She's deformed. She's missing part of her pinky on one hand. Yeah. Because of gangrene. Anyway. Anyway. He's in the hospital, and...
If you send me an email, I'll send you a picture.
Yeah. A picture before and after.
I do have a before
picture. Yeah. So...
With it all black and this fingernail hanging off of it.
God, Jesus. I don't remember that. But...
You were little. You were like a year old. Why would you?
Yeah, I don't remember that. But he's in the hospital, and he's, like, having all these weird visions. He continually has visions of, like, people running from him and bats.
Like,
yeah.
When he's in the hospital and he has that robot, don't you usually have a hospital gown on when you're in the
hospital? Not in New Mexico. They give you a terry cloth robe and brown pajamas.
Well, at first, I didn't think he had any pants on when he was running around.
This movie is so puzzling. Like, this is insane. So they're, like, giving him shots and treatment for rabies. And night rolls around, and we see his hand, only his hand, transform, which looked good.
Yeah,
the hand looked good.
It webbed.
It was like a stop-motion web effect. I thought it looked very good. And then there's, like, a nurse, and she was so obviously going to get killed. Because she's going, oh, yes. She's on the phone, and she's, like, smacking gum and, like, uh-huh, okay, yeah, I'll talk to you later. And then she hears, like, a crash, and she's like, oh, hold on, and sets down the phone. And she's like, is anybody there? And obviously someone comes in and slits her throat open, and she's dead. And then the next day, he wakes up, and the nurse there, who should be given Best Supporting Actress immediately, because she also graduated high honors from the Linda Day School of Overacting.
She was shiny.
She was glistening. She just came back from Ybor City.
Is this your ring?
She looked like she got basted. She was glistening. She looked like kind of like Sissy Spacek a little. Like Sissy Spacek and Sandy Dennis mixed. Like
that's
very
a horrible combination.
Like very chipmunky. And she's like, there was an accident. Oh, it's so horrible. There was an accident. The night nurse. She fell. God.
And she runs out of the room.
And then Dr. Beck knows he did something. He knows that he has to move, and he has to go find a 16-year-old girl to marry him.
His wife.
Wrong Dr. Beck.
And that's when he does that seizure again, and he leaves the hospital.
He's like, I don't have to stay here. He has like a whole like meltdown. Like, I'm trying to find like a comparable like reference. He has like a... Kind of like a... Oh. What's his face in Network? When he's like...
What's his...
Howard Beale in Network. The actor you're talking...
Peter Finch.
Yeah, he's, you know, sweaty. And he's like, ah! And he, like, leaves the hospital. And he's in probably the most 70s, like, early 70s white guy getup ever. He's in, like, a turtleneck and, like, a brown coat and brown pants and brown shoes. And he's in... I didn't understand this scene at all. Is he in, like, a women's lingerie store?
With his wife?
It wasn't with his wife. It was just him.
I don't know where he was.
Because he's at the store, and the very elderly attendant goes to the... She's like, oh, that's in the back. I'll go get it. And he starts having a seizure again. And his hand starts wet, like, wigging out. So he puts it under a cloth. And we see through the picture window that there is a gentleman who's staring at him. And he walks inside. And this is when he meets Sergeant Ward, who is basically a Burt Reynolds clone with a few chromosomes taken out. He has, like, a big, you know, 10-gallon hat. 10-gallon? 5-gallon?
10-gallon.
10-gallon. He has, like, a six-shooter on his hip. He's in, like, a McLeod, like, jacket. Like, what is it? It's like a Carhartt, kind of, like, with the fur on the hood. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And, like, jeans, and I'm surprised he didn't have spurs on. And he's in, like, steel-toed cowboy boots. And he's like, hey, you okay there? And he has, like, he has a southern accent that goes in and out. Like, sometimes there, sometimes it's gone. Sometimes he sounds, you know, like, from Kansas. And sometimes he sounds like he's from Shreveport. He's like, you okay, Dr. Beck? I'm sure, I'm surprised he wasn't a sheriff. But he's, I'm Sergeant I'm Sergeant Wade. Wade?
Ward.
Ward. Ward. He says this line, and that's why I thought, like, it would have been made more sense if it was, like, a gay, like, BDSM shop. Because he has this line, I bet your wife wouldn't want you to, wouldn't want to see you with this. So, like, it's either, like, he's, is he insinuating he's buying women's clothes for himself? Or he's buying women's clothes for another woman? Or he's buying women's clothes as a gift for her? Or we should have just made it a BDSM shop. Like, he's looking at, like, in hardcore, like, he's looking at, like, Fisting Monthly. You know, like, I don't, like, something, like, off the wall.
I have no idea.
But he's like, I bet your wife wouldn't want to see you with this. And so then, I'm going to pose a question. Was there sexual tension between Ward and Dr. Beck? Yes. You think so?
Probably.
Who's top? Dr. Beck. She nodded.
There's the pitcher and the taker. And the catcher.
Oh, my God.
The pitcher and the catcher.
We have to remember, she's from a different time. Long ago.
Oh, that's not what's called anymore?
No.
Oh, okay.
Long ago.
Far away in another land, far away.
She was born in the manger right next to Jesus.
That old.
There's two he's. Dr. Beck, like, leaves the store without saying anything. And there's another weird shot.
Is that when he busts up that mannequin?
No, that's later. Which made no sense at all. And I don't think that was supposed to be a mannequin. I think that was supposed to be a person.
Oh, yeah, because he said you took that guy and slammed him. This whole movie was confusing.
This whole movie makes no sense. But he leaves the store, and there's a weird shot. This was, like, you know, like, in literary terms, like Chekhov's gun, like, don't include details that you're not going to use because that's just padding. This whole movie is antithesis of that, because there's a shot of the attendant and it looks like she's going to say something. It's a medium shot of her and she's just staring, and it's for like a split second, but it was long enough for like you to notice that there's a shot of her, and we didn't need one. And I've been thinking about it ever since, like, who is this? What store is this? Because it didn't look like a clothes store.
No.
It just had a bunch of, like, cloth on tables. So, like, is he at a Joanne's Fabric? That's Joanne. Fabric. That's Joanne.
That fabric store.
Or it's, like, a front for, a like, a gay club. You know, like, it's called, like, I don't know. I can't come up with a funny pun. But, oh, the catcher's net. No, the pitcher's, the catcher's glove or something. But
chitters.
But so they leave and they're walking down the street and they're doing like a walk and talk, and Sergeant Ward is like, well, there was a nurse killed last night, and I don't think it was an accident. I think she was murdered. And Dr. Beck's like, oh no, that's terrible. And then Sergeant Ward holds up his hospital bracelet, and he's like, this was found near the body. And Dr. Beck, for being a very smart man, a graduate of Brown, was like, we don't know that, but he's probably an Ivy Leaguer, because he's a doctor in three fields. He's a cave doctor, a bat doctor, and a medicine doctor. I'm surprised he's not president of the United States.
How about a medical doctor instead of the medicine doctor?
Oh, yeah, medicine. Yeah, he's Dr. Quinn. but he is obviously the stupidest person alive, because he's like, oh, God, I don't know how that got there. That was on my wrist when I went to bed. I don't know. I don't know what. Like, he's just being a total putz. And he, like, leaves. And they're staying in the hotel. And later that night, he wakes up. Dr. Beck wakes up in bed with
his wife,
Buster Brown, yeah, Kathy. And he leaves for a night out of town. He goes back to that same store and smashes someone, something. It looked like a mannequin, but it may have been a person. I'll pull it up. I'll pull up the Wikipedia, see what it says. But, so he does that, and then we cut to This scene was crazy too. It's a trailer park prostitute. I'm sorry, sex worker. And
74 they were called prostitutes.
And 72 they were called whores.
Let's not get in the thing between prostitutes and whores.
This was in New Mexico. This was the lady from Truck Stop Women. This was Dick Curlis has a song about her. Like, she was a trailer park sex worker. And there's this kid humping her. And then the joke is that he prematurely ejaculates. And then he's like, well, I better get home now. And he leaves his truck. I thought she was a lot lizard because it was in a truck. But then we cut to outside. It's a trailer park. So, oh, she's a trailer park whore, not a lot lizard.
Right.
I get it. But she's in the car, and she's like, yeah, thanks a lot. Oh, thanks a lot. Like, girl, he paid you.
You don't know that. Maybe it was her boyfriend.
She looked a little too old for him.
Yeah, he did look really
young. He looked like 16, and she looked a hard 30. And she's in the cabin of the truck, because it's like a
cab, not the cabin, the cab of the truck.
She's just sitting there, and that's why I still thought she was a lot lizard, because she's staying in the truck, but she, like, opens the door, presumably to let it air out.
The guy
opens the door.
He leaves, and then someone bangs on her window, and then she went out the other side.
No, it's Albert. Not Albert. John.
Yeah, he banged on the window.
And he chases her through the trailer park and kills her.
Yeah.
She goes underneath the trailer, brave. In a 1974 trailer park, there's angel
dust.
You don't know.
You never lived in a 1974 trailer park.
Did you?
No.
Oh. Well, you don't know either.
I'm just saying.
We could probably find someone.
I'm just saying. It's probably not as bad as you think it is.
In the 70s? I'm sure it's better now. But it didn't even have that, like lattice around it. It was like, I'm not even saying that there's, like, drugs down there, which, I mean, in a New Mexico 70s trailer park, yes. But there's, like, dead cats under there, probably. Like, that's gross, and spiders. But, I mean, I guess I'd rather be next to a spider and a dead cat.
Well, I just think it's amazing that he kills her and she's screaming and not one single person hears her.
I said this to you. You can drop a can of panko in a trailer and 5 rows of trailers will hear it. They're made of tin. Like, they're not, like, the sturdiest structure. She's screaming because she's being murdered.
Nobody hears it.
That's, like, in Pieces when people would be, like, when the lady in the swimming pool after she does her nude scene, she's getting choked by the thing and she, like, backs up and, you know, and she's about to get chainsawed. She's screaming. She's literally a room away from the library. And nobody hears. It's just so hilarious.
Because it's quiet in the library.
Yes. Hold on. There's nothing to say on the Wikipedia that there was someone murdered.
Okay.
So I think it was a mannequin.
I do too, but okay.
But the next day he wakes up again and his ring is off his finger because what was the whole thing? She was like, you could never get his ring off.
Oh, because his knuckles were too big for it to go over.
Oh, okay.
Like, see, it'd be like stuck because it couldn't get over.
Oh, okay. But because his bat fingers were slimmer?
Well, they turned a web. The ring fell off.
Oh, yes. But, oh my God, this movie's so fucking stupid. So why does he get put back in the hospital?
Because he had to have more rabies shots.
Oh, yes, he's back in the hospital. And this is when she comes in with the fruit. And we're skipping some stuff because a lot of stuff is... Oh, I know why he gets put back in the hospital. No, I don't. No, I got my things mixed up because he's back in the hospital. Then he escapes in the Mother Judson Speedmobile.
Right.
And, you know, the biggest injustice in film history happens. So he's back in the hospital and she comes in with the fruit. And, you know, like the callous person she is, she does not offer him any. It's a bowl of fruit. It's like 3 apples and 2 oranges. She could have afforded to give some up. and said she's macking on this apple. And he's like, I want you to leave. And she's like, what do you mean, leave? And he's like, I want you to leave. Listen for me for once in your fucking life and leave.
And then he goes into this spasm thing.
Then he starts having a seizure. And then he throws the tray. He has like a breakfast in bed tray on him.
And then she goes, gets the nurses.
And he escapes. And he steals an ambulance. And this turns into the same chase from Mother Jugs and Speed. Except instead of Jugs, it's Mother Bats and Speed. He's driving. He's being chased by Sergeant Ward. It's a comically long car chase. There's like, it's almost shot for shot the one from Mother Jugs and Speed. There's like turning by a gas station. There's people getting hit. It's just silly. And he crashes the ambulance, miraculously survives, not injured by a single piece of glass.
Nope.
And he walks to an abandoned farm where we meet the only character in this movie who had a plot, who had a character arc, who was a good person. A good person might be a little bit of a stretch. I mean, he was a homeless drunk.
Well, you can be nice and be homeless and drunk.
I think he was, like, in the same way, like...
He could have been down on his luck.
No, like in Hoosiers, like Dennis Hopper in Hoosiers. Like the dad. Like, kind of like, just like a weird, like, kind of distant, not there for you father. Like, he seems like he would leave his family in the middle of the night and hop on a freight train and, like, go to the next town. Like, that's just the character I got from him, because he was such a good actor. He actually was the best actor in the movie.
Yes.
But he's dressed like, Lee Marvin in Paint Your Wagon. And he's drinking. His credit is The Tramp. I'd call him more of a booze hound than a tramp. But was he homeless or was he just a drunk?
I think he was just a drunk.
Well, I don't see him having a house. Maybe he lives in like a halfway house.
Or he lives in the abandoned farm.
Well, that's homeless.
Okay.
I'm asking for creative interpretation of this character. Where does this man live? Wherever singles apartments?
Anywhere he wants to.
The whole world is his house.
That's right.
And he starts, like, having, like, a philosophical conversation about alcoholism. I'm not even joking. He does start having, like, he's like, I've always considered myself a happy and free person. But alcohol is a depressant. And the more I drink, the sadder I get. But I can't stop because I'm a happy and free person. And then he's like, my hand hurts. It's broken.
He didn't know it was broken. That's when he turns into the medical doctor.
Oh, yes. You're like, in addition to being a bat doctor and a cave doctor, I'm also a medical doctor. I graduated from Harvard, Yale. And he bandages him up, and the drunk kindly offers him a sip of what I can only assume is 100-proof grain alcohol.
Or Boone's Farm.
That was gas. He's drinking gasoline. And he's like, here, have a swig. And then Dr. Beck takes a sip.
And he has the same reaction as with the Bloody Mary.
And like a bastard man from hell, he murders this poor, innocent tramp and leaves his frightened dead body in the barn and leaves like a bastard. He is an awful person. He is a monster. He's a terrible human being. And I wish nothing but death upon him. And that's the bullshit part. Because he doesn't die at the end. I wanted, like, a maniac, like... I'll have to show you that clip. It's, like, the coolest special effects I've ever seen. It was, like, a head... Like, they made a... Tom Savini. And, like... Do you know him?
Ooh.
Tom Savini. He's, like, a makeup SFX... like, guy from the 80s. And a lot of people, if you like movies like Pieces and, like, the... what was that shitty one with, Louise Lasser? Blood Feast or Blood... Blood Rage. Blood Rage. Like, movies like that Tom Savini did, like, the gore for. And his first movie was Maniac. And it's, like, not really my favorite movie, but there's a scene where the maniac in question... jumps on a car hood and shoots a guy's head with a shotgun through the windshield. And they use an actual shotgun on a prosthetic head, and it looks so fucking cool. I'll show you the clip after. But, like, I wanted that to happen at the end because I didn't want Sergeant Ward to win. I wanted him to die, too. But I wanted him, with his last ounce of strength, to blow off Dr. John Beck's head with a shotgun. And, like, that would have been the perfect ending if it's just, like, see you in hell. And he blows right. his head off, and it goes, and, you know, like, comically blows his head off. Like, not like an actual shotgun blast, but, you know, nothing but neck stump left. Like, that would have been so cool. Instead, we get that bullshit ending. So, he's on the lam.
And then, doesn't Sergeant Ward go to the hotel room?
Oh, God. And this was when we learned Sergeant Ward is not what he seems.
No.
He's actually more akin to Frank Booth in Blue Velvet. He's very, like, you know, spread your legs. He's very, like, creepy yeah. and, like, he takes her to his, like, fuck chalet, which
it
is...
It was her...
Oh, her well, fuck chalet.
It was her hotel room.
Oh. And...
You know, you need a strong man to look after you.
Also, this room is sickening in the worst way. It's not like, oh, that's sickening. Like, it makes me feel ill. Wood paneled out the wazoo. Oh, my God. I saw that, and I was like, disgusting. There's nothing I hate worse than wood paneling. Except knotty pine. Like, I hate wood walls. They're so gross.
As we're looking at a wood wall.
Yeah. Anyway, is this when he, like, tries to, like, rape her?
Yeah.
And she rebuffs him. I was not paying attention at this part, so you might have to take the wheel. What does he do after?
He leaves.
He leaves, and this one, he shows up to fuck her?
Oh, the...
Or is that when Beck shows up to fuck her?
No, something else happened, but I don't know what. But when she comes back...
Oh, he goes to the hospital to get blood.
Oh, yeah.
He goes to the hospital to get blood. And he, like, holds a nurse hostage. And she, like, as soon as he lets her go, she immediately turns into, like, a scream queen from, like, you know, like... The mutilator. She has, like, big bouncy hair and, like, her top's ripped open. And she's like, oh, God, it was so terrible. Also graduated with honors from Linda Day's Academy. He's, like, on the lam now. Again. And I think this is when he shows up
right
at her luxurious fuck chalet.
Well, that's where they were staying.
This scene is bonkers. This scene is almost as crazy as J.R. Ewing raping that girl last time on Mother Jugs and Speed.
Oh.
So he shows up, and this is actually the only scene that could be genuinely creepy, because I do love a lighting where it's only eyes. And that's why I've never watched Black Christmas, like the original, because when I was little, I saw stills of it, and the only time we see the killer is his, like, crazy eyes. It always, like, scared me. And so I've never seen that. Because of that, and because I've, like, seen the clips of the obscene phone calls, and they really freak me out, because I find, like, stuff like obscene phone calls and, like, stranger coming from inside the house freaks me out so much. Like, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But it's actually well lit in this scene, because we only see his, like, one
eyeball.
Bonkers eye. He looks like Charles Manson mugshot. Like, he looks crazy. And he's like, don't come any closer. Go home.
Don't turn on the lights.
Let me have you. And they have sex, and it was not my favorite. And while she is...
Doing whatever.
While she is climaxing, she opens her eyes, and he's a fucking bat. And this bat makeup is sinister. This bat makeup is not... I don't think Stan Winston had seen a bat. A bat is a fox with wings. A bat is like a rat with wings. Well, like, the bigger ones are like a fox with wings. But, like, they're like rodents with wings. He looks like...
I told you, a gorilla with a cleft palate.
He looks absolutely crazy. And in some lighting, Like, when he's in the cavern, he looks like a gorilla. In this part, he looks like he's in blackface, Like, gone over Soul Man blackface to, like, aboriginal, like, tribal, like, if you're gonna do, like, an offensive portrayal of, like, a native African person, that's what it looked crazy. And she screams, and then we cut to black, and she's laying in bed, like, Maude Lebowski after her and Jeff have sex in The Big Lebowski. But she's, like, under the curtains and, like, rocking. And in comes, like, their motel neighbor. He's like...
The manager of the motel, because he had a key, open the door.
You had a bad dream, Mrs. Beck.
Did you have a nightmare?
Are you okay? Are you okay in there? And she's like, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'll try to be more quiet next time. And how does Sergeant Ward get there? Because he... Did he get, like, alerted?
Because she goes to the police station. She went to the police station because they're trying to find him.
Yeah.
And then...
And then what?
That's when they're in the car.
When? At the end?
Yeah.
No, we missed the whole cave fight.
Oh, he goes... Because she went to the police station, and he said he would find him, and then he went...
Oh, then he left with a shotgun. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, it's head-blowing off time. Yeah. Because it's a 70s movie, and there's a shotgun.
Yeah.
Like, when I saw the shotgun in the Wild Bunch, like, at the big shootout at the end, and I saw the girl in the corner who's going to shoot William Holden, I said, her head is going to be on that fucking wall. And you know what it was? Like, I was expecting a head explosion. And you know what? This movie sucks. Because it didn't give me one. So we're having, like, a fight in the Carlsbad Caverns. And this is just absolute buffoonery. It's on the level of a Star Trek, like, Kirk versus an alien fight.
It's more like a Three Stooges fight.
It's more like Robot Monster versus, like...
Arkham Sock'em Robots.
Seriously. It is so bad. And they're fighting, and then, like... Beck gets on top of him and he's like throttling him. And he's like, bah! I'm a bat! And he gets up and runs back into the cave. And the next time we see Sergeant Ward, he's like all bruised. And the bruises look fine. Like, it's kind of hard to mess up bruises. But, you know, I was surprised this movie didn't. And he's sitting there and they're driving in the car. Where are they going? Back to the cave. They're going back to the cave. It's him and Kathy. And Kathy has been acting a little bit bonjour. And I looked at this Kathy and I said, dude, she's pregnant with vampire jizz. Like, she is inseminated with bat vampire DNA. Yeah,
she starts hearing
the same noises he heard. Because whenever he would be in, like, the hospital, he would be hearing, like, echolocation, basically. Like, he's a fucking dolphin.
And then
a bunch of bats
like, thousands of bats.
It was comical. It was absolutely hilarious. And when I thought it couldn't get any sillier, bats start kamikazing themselves on the windshield. This was straight out of, like, Frogs. Like, like, the frogs jumping on... who was the guy in that? Ray Milland. Like, them jumping on his corpse at the end. It was so goofy.
I mean, the whole windshield's red.
It turns into a comedy, basically.
And then she's, like, sitting there very calm.
And he's like, what the hell's going on? Because he had his accent at the beginning, dropped it for the most part, and now he's back at the end. He's, what the hell? What? I can't see a damn thing. And... He like, pulls over, and she's like...
Well, he kind of had to. Couldn't see out the windshield.
He pulls over, and she, like, grabs the door handle, and he's like, what the hell are you doing? And she goes, goodbye, Sergeant Ward, and opens the door, and thousands of bats fly in and are eating him, and he gets his shotgun, and I was like, oh, my God, he's going to blow his head off. We cut away to her walking down the road, and we hear a gunshot. That's when I knew I hated this movie always and forever. She walks away, and this goofy song starts playing, and roll credits. No. No, ma'am. No. Okay. That was the movie. What did you give this as a post rating?
Minus as far as you can go.
As far as you can go. I have a tangible number.
Yes.
Mine is negative 197,400. That's 1974 times 100, I think. Either way, it's...
Sucked.
Every place this movie goes that can go wrong, it does go wrong. It's absolute dog shit.
When you could have gone right, you went left.
It was terrible, horrible, no good, bad, terrible, absolutely horrible. Every adjective and combination of adjectives you can think of to describe it applies to it. Don't watch this unless you're like a hardcore bad movie fan.
Or like bats.
Or you like bats. I don't want to cut out the bat people.
Not people. It's one fucking person.
Next week is going to be a treat. Next week is another vampire-themed movie. Except it's starring everybody's favorite racist, Steven Seagal. In Against the Dark, his fat ass kills a bunch of vampires.
Oh, please.
So we're watching Against the Dark.
What does he do, sit on them?
He says, oh, yeah, you know, I'm Steven Seagal. I'm going to kick your fucking ass.
Because my sister acts better than
it's
I
do. It's actually not his sister.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
They're spelled different.
They're related.
No, they're not. Hers is S-A-G-E-L. His is S-E-A-G-A-L.
Before they said they were related.
I said they were related. I'm not Google. But I've been thinking about Steven Seagal more recently because I unlocked the core memory from whatever shitty movie we watched where he said, I'll snatch every motherfucker birthday. And... I've just been thinking about that nonstop.
She's that old?
Yeah. 65, 64.
She says,
How old is she? 66?
She says she's born in 54.
Oh, wow. 70.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're watching Steven Seagal's movie next week. Remember, if you like this episode, please tell your friends. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts, on CastBox, on Google Podcasts. Okay. Google Podcasts is actually, I think, discontinuing this summer. So rate and review there while you still can. So rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, wherever you get your podcasts. Send us an email at whyreadingthispodcast1@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Threads. That's why period our period we period doing period this. Subscribe to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/whyarewedoingthis with the letter R. I think that's everything. Sorry for the hiatus. We hope we made up with it with the bat people.
Yeah, right.
So remember, I'm Lucas Guzman.
I'm Kathy Wright.
And we will see you next week.